إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا داعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا أما بعد قال جل وعلا في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون فأما بعد respected ulama my dear brothers and sisters assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh I remind myself and you to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu because all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent our father Adam alayhi salam into this world from his home, which was Jannah. He sent him from his home into this world to do a job and return. And in order to return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the key to Jannah, by which he can return to Jannah. And that key to Jannah was, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in his kalam to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam and gave this key also to us. The key of tawbah, the key of changing our lives so that we go back to Jannah. But it's a strange thing that we seem to have forgotten where our home is. We forgot why we came here. We forgot the job that we were supposed to do. And we forgot the fact that we have to go back home. And we live in this world as if this is our home. And as if this is where we are going to stay forever. And this is even more strange because every single day, one or the other of us goes back home. And the rest of us, we give him a send-off. We go there, we wish him all well, we make dua for him and we send him off. But we don't remind ourselves that one day I am going to be sent off. And when it is time for my send-off, what am I taking with me? What have I packed in my suitcase? I came here to Kuwait. And from here, I have to go to Australia. Kuwait is extremely hot. In Australia, it is winter. And so therefore, we planned our trip in such a way that we stop by in India on the way, only to pick up another suitcase. Because the clothes for Kuwait will not work in Australia. And the clothes for Australia will not work in Kuwait. So my question to myself and you is, what is in your suitcase? What have you packed in your suitcase to go back there? Because when I come to Kuwait, the only thing I have is what is in my suitcase. I have a whole lot of more clothes at home. I have all my resources at home, but they are at home, not accessible to me when I'm here in Kuwait. When I'm in Kuwait, all that I have is what's in my suitcase. And therefore, the question to remind myself and you is, what is in your suitcase? And the good news is that the suitcase is open. All the resources are there. All we need to do is pack. As I mentioned before, the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the muttaqoon, for the people of taqwa. And that is why the ayat which we always read and recite in every Jum'ah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And it is the great mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when He made this condition of taqwa as the condition of success, when He made the promises for the muttaqoon, He gave us the means to acquire this taqwa. Where He said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqul aamanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah did not leave us without resources. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the resources. And He says, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon. And if you become muttaqoon, then Jannah is yours. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us muttaqoon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take the maximum benefit from this Jum'ah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that sa'a in this Jum'ah where He accepts all du'as. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to make all the du'as that you wish to make for yourself during that sa'a. And I ask Allah to accept all those du'as from you, inshallah. I have a good news to share with you and a du'a to request from you. Today, the 6th of Ramadan al-Karim, 1435 Hijri, and the 4th of July 2014, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Biznillahi Ta'ala, we have registered the Standard Bearers Academy in Australia. I just got this news this morning when I went back from here after Tahajjud. Australia is 7 hours ahead, so I got this news to say that officially the Academy has been registered as a charity non-profit. We request you for your du'as. This is a milestone and it's a matter of great pleasure for me that I am announcing this in Kuwait in Jum'ah, because a lot of the people who were the first people behind this project 12 years ago are all sitting here. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, and we ask Allah to accept your du'as. It is by your du'as that we have come this far, alhamdulillah. So my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this month to develop taqwa within ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are for the muttaqoon, because what is taqwa? If you read the translations of in English of most of the ayat where taqwa is mentioned as fear of Allah. My submission to you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. Ashad, the superlative form of shadid. So how do you put these two things together? How do you put fear of Allah and love of Allah together? Because as you know, fear is a negative emotion. We do not love the things we fear. We fear snakes, we don't love snakes. Ask your child if he goes to a school where may Allah protect them and deliver them from such teachers, but if he has a teacher who he fears, he definitely doesn't love that teacher. Fear produces hatred, fear produces dislike. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't fear and dislike Allah, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we put the two things together? The way I put these two together is I translate taqwa as not as fear of Allah, but as fear of disobeying the one I love the most. So therefore, the more you love Allah, the more you fear to displease Allah. The more the hubb of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the more the taqwa of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, because we do not want to displease the one we love the most. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it is the taqaza, it is the requirement of love, that we do whatever the one we love tells us to do. It is the requirement of love. You prove your love by doing what? By doing whatever the one you love tells you to do, whether you like it or not, whether it is convenient or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether it is logical or not, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, you do it only because the one who you love told you to do it. And Ramadan al-Kareem comes with that message. Why do you fast? Why have you made haram on yourself those things which are normally halal? Not only are they normally halal, they are things that if you do them in the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they become ibadah. To eat halal food is ibadah. And make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is ibadah. To drink a halal drink and thank Allah is ibadah. To be with your wife or your husband in a halal relationship is ibadah. Allah will reward you for it. But during this time of fasting in Ramadan, you have made halal into haram on yourself. Why? Does it make sense? Is it convenient? Is it nice? Is it logical? It is none of those things. Why have you and I made it haram on ourselves? Because Allah Jalla Jalaluhu told us to do that. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why have we made the halal into haram on ourselves? Because our Rabbul Alameen told us to do that. That is what pleases Him. What then must we do with the haram itself? Ramadan does not come to deprive us of halal. Ramadan comes to teach us this lesson, that as a muttaqi, if you made what was halal into haram on yourself to please Allah, what must you do with that which is haram anyway? Ghiba is haram, lying is haram, cheating is haram, eating haram is haram, earning haram is haram, harming people is haram. All kinds of things. What must we do with that outside of Ramadan? This is the message of Ramadan. That is the meaning of cultivating taqwa. It is not taqwa ends with Eid. No. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this lesson. And He taught us this lesson of the muttaqoon. He taught us this lesson of what happens to those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and who follow the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without question, without argument. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates in the hadith relating to the asbabun nuzul of the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. He said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated and he said that when this ayat was revealed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. My brothers and sisters, I always say, reflect on the Quran. Think about the Quran. What is the meaning? Allah is saying, everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Him. So who do you belong to? Who do I belong to? If I belong to Allah, if I am the property of Allah, then whose responsibility is it to feed me? Whose responsibility is it to look after me? Whose responsibility is it to protect me? Whose responsibility is it to give me what I ask? If there is a car outside, that belongs to me, and that car is not clean, it has no gas, it can't go anywhere, the tires are punctured and so on, who will you blame? The car? Will you go to the car and say, what kind of car are you? Or will you go to me and say, what kind of a man, why do you keep a vehicle like this? The thing belongs to you, look after it. Yes or no? But you do that only to the car, which simply sits there waiting for the hukum. You cannot blame me for what happens to the car if the car gets stolen by somebody else. Somebody steals my car, the car goes away with that person, then I find the car 5 days later, smashed up. It's not my fault. It's the fault of the one who stole the car. A shaitan. But if the car is not stolen, the car is standing in front of my house, waiting for my hukum, then I am responsible for that car. Allah said, Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, including you and me. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, and then Allah said, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab for everything that you do, what is within yourselves and what is outside. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ. And if he wants to forgive, he will forgive, and if he wants to punish, he will punish. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do everything. He said, radiallahu anhu, that this ayah was so heavy and so difficult for the sahaba that they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they fell down on their knees. They did not make sujood. With the burden of the ayah, they fell down on their knees before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make salah, to establish salah, to pray, and we pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to give zakat, and we give zakat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will hold us accountable not only for our speech and actions, but He will also hold us accountable for our thoughts and desires which are within our hearts. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we will be destroyed because we have control over our speech and actions, but we have no control over our hearts and our desires. We will be destroyed. How can we bear this burden? Before I tell you the answer of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let me ask you a question. This Ma'ruza, I don't say this is an objection, it is never an objection. The Sahaba were people of adab, they did not object. But this doubt, this shak, this ma'ruza, this request of the Sahaba, does it seem logical and reasonable to you or not? What do you think? Sounds reasonable, yes? Sounds reasonable. But you know what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, and he says that the blessed face of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became red with anger. And he said to the Sahaba, will you be like those who came before you? When a hukum of Allah was sent to them, they would say, Samana wa asayna. We have heard, but we will not obey. And he said, Qul, Samana wa atana. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. He said, say, O Allah, we have heard and we will obey. Forgive us, O Allah, and to you is our return. My brothers and sisters, I am explaining to you the issue of taqwa, the issue of obeying the one you love only because you love him. Whether you like the order or not, whether you find it reasonable or not, whether you find it easy or difficult, you stand up and say, O Allah, Samana wa atana, Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the Sahaba, the moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, the Sahaba did not argue, the Sahaba did not say, oh no, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, you didn't understand what we were saying, really we were saying something. They didn't say all this. They simply said, Samana wa atana, Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu then says, see the wages of obedience, see the reward of obedience. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, a door opened in the heavens and Jibreel Amin descended alayhi salam, and he came and he brought the ayat after that to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, your Rabb says to you, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Reflect and think, my brothers and sisters, whose words are these? These are the words of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are the words repeated by his companions, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Their Rabb liked these words so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said this in his own any other words, but Allah simply took the words of his Nabi and returned them as his kalam to be recited until the day of judgment. What honor can be bigger than the honor of having your words taken and returned as the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu? And then your Rabb and my Rabb is Kareem. Your Rabb and my Rabb is Kareem. He did not end with that. He did not end with that. He comforted the Sahaba. And he said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. He said, Allah will not give you more than you can bear. And for you will be only, you will be held accountable only for what you do and what you say, not what's in your heart. Allah comforted them. And Allah did not stop with that. Allah then taught them how to make dua. The topic of my khutbah today is how to take from the treasures of Allah. The people in this world who have treasures have those treasures locked up in big safes. And they have guards guarding those treasures to prevent people from taking from those treasures. But my Rabb is the only one who has treasures in safes which have no doors. And he has those treasures and he appoints people not to guard the treasure but to give it away. He appoints people not to guard the treasure but to invite people and say, take from this treasure, take from the treasure. And these people were the Anbiya. And these people are those who follow the Anbiya in the work of Da'watul Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught how to take from his treasures. رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. آمين يا رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Sahaba how to make dua. My brothers and sisters, read the translation of those ayat. I won't translate them for you here in order to keep inside within my time. But think about this. What is better than being taught how to make dua by the one who accepts that dua? You are going with an application to the king. And the king says, give that application here. Let me fill it up for you. I will fill up the application for you, then you give it back to me. Ajib. This is the mercy of Allah. Reflect on this. Make dua. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as, because we make dua because Allah asked us to make dua. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن وله وبعد. قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وعلى خلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. وبعد. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned to you, all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the muttaqun. And that is why in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in order for us to develop taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this beautiful ayah. وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Why is it in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan? Because what is the logical thing when a person develops taqwa? When he starts loving his Rabb, when he starts obeying his Rabb, when he wants to do only that which pleases his Rabb, when he feels close to his Rabb, what is the thing he wants to do? He wants to talk to his Rabb. He wants to tell his Rabb his story. He wants to ask his Rabb for what he needs. In the Asbabun Nuzul of this ayah, it is said that the Sahaba wanted to ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam many questions, but they hesitated. One, because they did not want to irritate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and secondly, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also recommended not asking too many questions like the Bani Israel did, because then life become more difficult. But they said that the Sahaba used to say that we used to wish that somebody will come from far away who does not know all of this, and he will ask the questions that we want to know. And the asbab and nuzul of this ayat is that a man came from some far off tribe, and he came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, how should we make dua? Is Allah close to us? Can we speak softly? Or should we have, do we have to shout and talk loudly because Allah is far away? What is the situation? And Allah revealed this ayah. Imagine. We worship a Rabb who hears and who responds. We don't worship a concept. We don't worship an image. We worship a Rabb who hears, who listens, Sami'ul Basir, Alimum bi dhati sudur, and who responds. And when this man, his name also is not recorded in the Asbab al-Nuzul of this ayah to say who this man was. They said one man from some tribe. Some guy, some Muslim. We are not talking about some Shaykhul Haram or some Mufti Azam. No, we are talking about an ordinary Muslim. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, how must I make dua? Where is Allah? Is he close to me, far away from me? Should I speak softly, loudly? What must I do? And who answers this question? His Rabb answers the question from the Arsh. And he says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slave asks about me, I am close to him. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When he asks me, I listen to him, I will give him. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Tell him to obey me and tell him to have faith. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ And he will be among the ones who are guided. Think about this. Why is obedience being put before faith? Why is obedience before faith? Because we are a people about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ We are a people who believe in al-ghayb. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu unseen. There is a beautiful hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where one day he said to the sahaba, on the day of judgment, I will be with my brothers and sisters. And the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we are your brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are my sahaba. Allah has given you a special status. But my brothers will be those. And by brothers, it means brothers and sisters. He said, they will be those who will come after you and who will believe in me without having seen me. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of you and us among those who will be called the brothers and sisters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who will be with him on the day of judgment as he promised. Because we not only believe in Allah unseen, we also believe in Muhammad unseen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iman, obedience comes before Iman, because when the person obeys, Iman comes and Allah responds. I gave you the dalil of the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. I will give you a final dalil of ayat of Surah Al-Imran and then I will finish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran, He mentioned these ayat where He mentioned the people who He called the people of intelligence, Al-Ulil Al-Bab. And He gave us the qualities of Al-Ulil Al-Bab. I'm not going to translate and do the explanation of all that for want of time, but I will come to the point that I will translate for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these Al-Ulil Al-Bab. And He said, الَّذِينَ يَذُكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد خزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار And then ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار O our Rabb, we heard the nida, the call of the one who said, believe in your Rabb, and we believed. And I hold my Rabb witness, and I hold all of you witness, that O our Rabb, we did not hear the call, but we still believed. We did not hear the beautiful voice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we still believed. So Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana. Forgive our sins. Wa kaffir anna sayyiatina. Wipe out our evil deeds. Bury them completely. Wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. And raise us with the people who have achieved a state of birr. The highest state of taqwa. Obedience comes before iman. And when we obey, we get iman and we get the basharat of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take the maximum benefit from this month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your dua. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover you with His mercy and with His forgiveness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you whatever you ask and then to give you more out of His generosity. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you the karamat of His khudrat in your life, so that those things which you considered impossible will become possible before your eyes. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with His noor. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with His barakah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wipe out your sins and to wipe out your evil deeds and to wipe out your difficulties and to wipe out all that is evil. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the last of your days the best of your days and the last of your actions the best of your actions. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best day of your existence the day when you will meet Him Jalla Jalaluhu. And on that day I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the shade of His arsh on the day when there will be no shade except His shade. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree and write in your qadr that you will follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam across the sirat into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. I make this dua for you, for all your dependents, for all those who are alive, for all those who have died. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill their qubur with noor. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them what they did and what they did deliberately and what they did accidentally. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased with you. Ya ibadallah, rahimakumullah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i zil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkurullaha yadhkurukum, ud'uhu yastajib lakum, wa ladhikrullahi akbar, wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Aqimus salah.